Greetings to all our listeners from the Gunawagi Mohawk Territory on the south shore of Montreal and from the Quebec Native Women's Organization. My name is Sherry Osnaawi Jacobs and I am your host. I am the Digital Information Coordinator on Family Violence in an Indigenous Context at the Quebec Native Women's Organization, situated in Gunawagi, Quebec. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in Indigenous Studies from Trent University and a Bachelor of Education degree from Queen's University. This podcast is the first of an upcoming series of ideally bilingual podcasts on family violence in an Indigenous context. I use the term family violence as domestic violence, intimate partner violence, or conjugal violence affects the whole family and not just the victim and the aggressor. The goal is to help spread awareness about the concept of family violence in an Indigenous context that includes the roles of colonization, assimilation, and cultural genocide toward the Indigenous peoples in Canada, as well as to highlight organizations and resources that help victims, family members, and concerned community members. The website sosviolenceconjugale.ca, all one word, is an excellent resource for learning and coping with family violence and is available in 28 languages, including Algonquin, Cree, Inuktitut, Innu, Aimun, and Mohawk. They have a 24/7 hotline, a chat feature, and have been in service for 35 years. They are the gateway to any service needed, such as Indigenous women's shelters. Their number is 1-800-363-9010. Some future topics of this podcast series will include disenfranchised Indigenous women and colonization, the program inside an Indigenous women's shelter in Agwesasne, forced sterilization of Indigenous women across Canada, and a three-part series on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, to name a few. My project is tentatively entitled A Hidden Crisis. In this first podcast, I will be interviewing Claudette Dumont-Smith, the Quebec Native Women's Executive Director, and she will be talking about our organization's goals, some key achievements, and we're going to touch on Bill S3, which deals with the federal status recognition of Indigenous peoples. So first, some background on the QNW, Quebec Native Women's Organization. According to the AFNQL, the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, in 1968, a courageous Gunawagi woman, Mary Tuax Early, started the Equal Rights for Indian Women movement. She called for mobilization against the discrimination in the Indian Act against Indian women who lost their status when they married non-Indians. There are a few terms which are used interchangeably when it comes to Indigenous peoples. First is the outdated term Indians, which likely comes from the federal government's Indian Act of 1876. Next, some folks call themselves Natives or Native Americans in the U.S. There is also the term Aboriginals, which stems from the Canadian Constitution Act of 1982 and which includes Indians, Inuit, and Métis. Next, there are the First Nations, which is a relatively recent term, as in the Assembly of First Nations. I prefer our Ganyageha Mohawk term, which is Ungwehungwe, or Original Peoples. I will be using the term Indigenous for my podcast. Mary Tuax Early was an activist who was particularly prominent in Mexico City in 1975 at the first United Nations Conference on Women's Rights. Her action was a great source of inspiration throughout Canada, and in 1971, she encouraged the emergence of the Native Women's Association of Canada. In 1974, the Quebec Native Women's Organization was born and is now known as Quebec Native Women. Founded in 1974, QNW Incorporated represents First Nations women in Quebec as well as urban Aboriginal women. We are a bilingual organization, and Quebec Native Women sits on the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, the AFNQL, on the board of directors of the Native Parajudicial Services of Quebec, the QPS, on the First Nations Human Resources Development Commission of Quebec, the FNHRDCQ, and on several other Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal commissions and committees. Our mission is to support the efforts of Aboriginal women to improve their lives by promoting non-violence, justice, equal rights and health, and we support women in their involvement in their communities. Since its inception in 1974, QNW has responded to inequalities in terms of family and domestic violence through dozens of initiatives, including training, awareness campaigns, educational materials, representation of women in the political and media spheres, and the creation of councils of elected women of the nations. In the implementation of these initiatives, QNW prioritizes an approach that is compatible with the realities of Aboriginal women. We offer a variety of workshops such as Indigenous Women and Colonization and Violence Yesterday to Today. At present, there are some 9 workshops available in French and 6 in English. There are 11 Aboriginal nations in 55 northern and urban communities or villages. There are 10 First Nations in Quebec: Abenaki, Anishinaabe or Algonquin, Atikamekw, Iyu, Cree, Huron-Wendat, Innu, Montagné, Wolastoqiyik, Maliseet, Gunyagihaga, Mohawk, Mi'kmaq, Niskapi. Inuit is plural, and Inuk person is singular. Roughly 50% of Aboriginal peoples live in Quebec cities. QNW is a council of 17 elected officials who are members of all the First Nations in Quebec. At present, there are about 20 employees who work in the Gunamage office, and our president is Marjolaine Etienne. Without further ado, let's begin. Thank you for agreeing to do the interview with me, Claudette.
You're welcome, Sherry.
How long have you been with the Quebec Native Women's Organization, and what do your main responsibilities include?
I became Executive Director of the Quebec Native Women in June 2021, so I'm coming up to 2 years next June. My role as Executive Director is to oversee overall administration and management of the Quebec Native Women Association, and of course to see that we're aligned with the objectives, goals, and strategic plan that was put in place last year. So it's a huge mandate, and it's one that I'm very happy to do. And I believe that there's a good team at the Quebec Native Women. So I think that working hand in hand with my team, and as well as with the board members that represent all the nations in Quebec, I think we will achieve our goal, which is, of course, to bring equality for Indigenous women in Quebec.
Very good. Thank you. Can you name some goals that you might have for the first 6 months?
I'm trying to increase the number of staff at the Quebec Native Women so that we can address different issues. We're addressing violence and justice issues, and we're developing information on violence and sexual assault. But I want to expand that to include education, economic development, environment. And those are things that we don't have coordinators in place for those three. And I'd like to see that come in place at the organization.
I think one of your goals, too, was to increase our visibility at the local, provincial, and federal government levels. Is that right?
Yes, for sure. I think in Quebec, we're pretty well known, but I think we have to be known at the national and international levels. And there are 50-some First Nations communities in Quebec. And of course, there's a great number of our population that also live out of the community. So we want to become known to all these people that we're a viable and we're a responsible resource for them whereby they can, you know, get information, link up with our organization, and all with the goal of improving the lives of Indigenous women in Quebec.
Those are excellent, honorable goals. Can you talk about a previous leadership role that you might have fulfilled?
I've had several in my past. I was chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission for 1 year. I was executive director of the Native Women's Association of Canada for nearly 6 years. I was also a minister special representative on Bill S3. So I've traveled across Canada in all provinces and territories several times, except Nunavut. So I'm quite aware of the issues affecting Indigenous people overall.
That's very impressive. Can you tell us some key achievements of yours or of the Quebec Native Women's Organization?
I think Quebec Native Women was instrumental and is known for lobbying for and bringing changes to the Indian Act with Bill C-31. And Bill C-31, you know, was a bill that put in place the reinstatement of Indigenous women who had married non-Indigenous people, who reinstated them to their status, back to their status. So this was a milestone in Canadian history and, of course, in the history of Indigenous people as well.
Okay, thank you for that. And you worked on Bill S3. What can you tell me about that?
Well, after Bill C-31, there was a few more bills that were put in place to attempt to get equality for Indigenous women and their descendants who had lost their Indian status. So Bill S3 went further. It went back to 1899. So in other words, if a person who didn't have status could prove that they had a grandmother or a great-grandmother going back to 1899 who had lost their status throughout all these generations, if they could prove that link, they would regain their status. That was quite an achievement as well. And there was other things that were looked at in the removing the 1951 cutoff date. So it looked at that, and that in 2019, the changes were brought forward in that S3. Mind you, there's still residual discrimination in the Indian Act, and Quebec Native Women is looking into that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Jane Hannenberg, former vice president of the organization, did mention that the federal government does not want any more litigation. Are you familiar with that?
Well, there is a flavor, I think, not to go to litigation. But they're not making things easier. I mean, they are kind of forcing Indigenous people to litigate, to bring it to the courts. And that's a long, drawn-out, expensive process. And, of course, the Indigenous people, whether it be land claims or anything else, really don't have the funds to fund these long legal processes. So it's, you know, everything's more positive. It's on the positive side of the government, and we're on the losing side as usual. So it's always a greater battle for Indigenous people.
Okay, and just one more quick thing. Mary Jane had also mentioned that there was a resolution adopted at the AGA this past December where they want a working committee established to address the 1985 cutoff date. Do you know or do you have any ideas as to how this working committee can focus on this issue by itself?
Well, I think we're going to have to bring in some legal experts who are very familiar with the Indian Act and the laws. And I think that we're going to have to get women like Mary Hannenberg on board and other women that are pioneers in fighting for the end to discrimination against Indian women. So, that's where we're going to have to go, I think, because we do need legal experts on our side for sure.
Okay, that pretty much concludes my questions. Thank you for your time, Claudette. I just want to mention that if you are out there and you do believe in this fight for the membership issue, please join us at the Quebec Native Women. There is a tab on there. Do you know exactly where on the website it is where you can become a member of FAC?
I think it's on the opening page. Or, you know, you can call too, and we'll give you the information. We'll send you a form. Or you can contact your nation representative. And we have a listing of names of each representative that represents our nation. For example, here we have Melissa Montour, who's the Mohawk representative.
Okay. And the office number here is 450-632-0088.
Right? That's correct.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Claudette. I appreciate your time, and you have a good afternoon.
You're welcome, Sherry.